Welcome to the FNO InsurTech Podcast, a place where movers and shakers from all points within the insurance ecosystem gather and discuss all things InsurTech. Here are your hosts, Lee Boyd and Rob Beller.
Hey, podcast world, welcome to another exciting edition of your favorite podcast and mine, FNO InsurTech, where we talk all about InsurTech from one end of it to the other and everything in between. Isn't that right, Lee Boyd?
Man, that was a really good commercial. I hope we snippet that and we throw it out on social for our commercial. But my question is this really your favorite podcast?
You want the truth here?
I do.
There is no podcast I listen to more than ours.
I listen to ours more than all the other podcasts too.
I do.
At least the first, you know, little bit to make sure it actually got recorded. Because I was on the podcast, so I know what the subject is. But
right.
Yeah.
Right. I have a particular vested interest in it. That might have something to do with it.
Yeah, you don't want to sound like a jackleg.
Although we're pretty good at that.
What other podcasts do you listen to?
Do you think that our audience knows what the term jackleg means?
I don't know. I don't know if I
you just threw it out there. Ooh. And there's probably literally ones of people. There's literally so many people that I have to use the form of the word people and not person.
But I don't
more
know.
Than one person is wondering, what is a jackleg? So I'm going to give you the intro here before you give the definition. So I, at a certain time in my career, over 20 years ago, I had the opportunity of going to Texas to work for a little while. And I became very friendly with many, many Texans. And there's a term that they throw around a lot. And that term is jackleg. And I remember hearing it for the first many times, thinking to myself, what does that mean? I eventually figured it out because of the context that it's used in.
Yeah, context clue.
So, like, did you just call us jacklegs, you and I?
I think I said you don't want to be a jackleg.
So, with that introduction, what's a jackleg? You're
really
a Texan. You're a Texas guy, born and raised.
I don't have a definition. You just don't want to be a goober. You don't want to be somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. You don't want to be an idiot.
A pretender.
Jackleg. We also say jackweed. I don't know if that's a lot of times like
wow, to be now you're going deep.
I don't know where I learned it, right? It's one of those things that someone told it. Hopefully it's not offensive. I don't know. But it's one of those things you learned probably as a kid, and I just say that. All I know is you don't want to be one.
Okay. You don't want to be a goober?
You don't want to be a goober.
A jackweed?
A jackweed.
Or a jackleg.
Or a jackleg. Whatever that means, you just don't want to be one.
Okay. So let that be a warning to you, audience, that don't do that.
Don't do that. Oh, look at Al. He actually put the actual definition in there.
Well, let's not read it because I like ours better.
Yeah, we're going to stick to ours.
But none of this has anything to do with our podcast today.
Not a thing.
In fact, we have a guest on who would be the opposite of that. Wouldn't
you
agree?
Yeah, he's the opposite. He and his team are the opposite of that.
We have Adam Bowe, who is the co-founder and CEO of Cake. Now, many of you people are thinking to yourselves, oh, I know Cake. Mm-hmm. I just had some last night.
Mm-hmm. I had a slice
of
it.
No, that's not the cake we're talking about. Tell us who Cake is, Lee.
You know, we also like to bring companies on with unique names. Think of all the companies we've had with unique names, and this is no different. Adam comes on to talk all about his company. He was on a list that we found in one of the Coverager emails. He was on the list of up-and-coming insurtechs, and we reached out to him to come on and to visit. And Cake is a platform that allows small to mid-sized agencies to sell and buy other agencies. And at the center of it is the value prop. It's the valuing of the agency so that the sellers and the buyers can all kind of come to an agreement, and then they can go into the actual purchasing stage. It's a really cool thing, mostly because I've been around the agency world for a long, long time, and I've always been interested in buying an agency. Now, I've not done it, and I don't have any real plans to do it, but I've always been interested, and I've never known where to go about doing that. And now there's a little piece of cake out there. It's a piece of cake for you to go out and buy an agency now. I think I just came up with that.
We can't talk about cake without talking about what our favorite cake is.
Okay.
I don't even need to think about it. And I send this out to our friend Randy.
Yeah.
Who enjoys this, but I am carrot cake, 100%. No ifs, ands, or buts.
You got me on carrot cake.
Give it to me.
I like Boston cream pie.
But is it a cake?
I don't know. It's got a little cake in it.
But is it a cake? No, I don't think so.
No, it says Boston cream pie cake. But there is a Ben and Jerry's Boston cream pie ice cream, and it's phenomenal. So if you're interested.
I am a carrot cake guy, although I can be tempted with other cakes. Don't get me wrong. Including
cheese. I've
never
met a cake I don't like.
Various kinds of chocolate.
Yeah.
But
you got me on carrot cake. The word carrot cake sounds disgusting because who in the right mind would want a carrot?
But actually,
when I was in London, I had a wonderful afternoon meal, and it was carrot cake and a cappuccino.
Mm.
And it was phenomenal. Mm. So
let's go back to London and do that again.
I think we should.
Okay. Well,
but before we do, why don't we let our listeners listen to cake?
That's beautiful. So get out your plate and your fork and your cappuccino.
Yeah.
And we're going to serve you some cake here. Here's Adam Bowe, CEO, co-founder of Cake.
Well, hey, everybody. We are back again for another exciting podcast. And we have a guest today, very excited about, somebody that we saw in the news cycle, and we have Adam Bowe, who is the founder of Cake. Welcome, Adam.
Yeah, Lee, thanks for having me on, man. I'm excited to be here.
We are excited to have you. Where are you today? Where are you calling in from?
Yeah, I'm down in Tallahassee, Florida, which is my home for the next 3 months.
Okay.
My wife and I are down here finishing her doctorate. And we just found out that we moved to Charleston, South Carolina, July. So anybody
exciting.
That's listening, yeah, that lives in Charleston, wants to be friends, hit me up.
That's fantastic. You know, that's one city I've never been to. Never been to Charleston.
Yeah.
Here it's wonderful.
I've only been once, but the food scene's unbelievable. So really excited about that part.
Well, we are excited to have you on. You are the founder of Cake, which, you know, I guess just by name alone, it would be hard to guess what your company is. But why don't you give us just a little bit on what is Cake?
Yeah. It's funny. We can go into the name in a second. I've talked about it in a few other places, but I'm addicted to fun names. I can't. My first job out of college was at a company called Big Ass Fans.
Did you really? I love Big Ass Fans.
Yeah. So ever since then, I like saw the impact of a memorable name and just cannot get away from having a good one. So Cake is a marketplace that helps independent agents buy, sell, and value either fractional pieces of their book of business or their full book of business. So the M&A market has been really hot for the last 10 to 12 years. And we, you know, want to help that be more efficient, and specifically for the small to kind of medium-sized agencies. If you're a $20, $40 million in revenue agency, you can kind of sell when you want to who you want to. There's a couple of enterprise players, but for the vast majority of agencies, this is a complicated process that can have some friction involved, and we think we've built a product that helps with that.
That's really great. I'll tell you, I am very interested in buying and selling agencies. I grew up in the agency market. My father was an agent, and now my brother-in-law, he owns an agency. And for 15 plus years, I was always interested in buying an agency, right? Starting, buying, doing whatever. And the only thing I ever knew to do was to Google, you know, buy agency Waco, Texas. And it was always convoluted. It was hard to find. It wasn't easy. And I never really knew, was I talking to a group? Was I talking to the agency? I never went down the path. It was just kind of a dream, just a dream. But it seems like a space that needs somebody like you to come in and help it. Because most of these folks who have these agencies, the smaller ones, that's what they do. They sell insurance. They don't sell companies, right? They need that realtor of sorts, that broker to come in and help and give them insight. And is that pretty much what it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you hit on is that, like, if you Google buy or sell an agency, I think what you see a lot of right now is content, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a blog post that talks about it, but there's nowhere to go from that blog post. There's no site to go to or anything like that. There's no action that you can take. And then there are other sites that are listing sites, right? And so you can list your agency for sale. But just like you said, you don't know if they're part of a group or a network or, you know, kind of what's going on with them. But they do solve that, like, initial connection, right? Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to do is the full end-to-end. So similar to TurboTax, let's say, for example, right?
Okay.
Like, if you've got really, really complicated taxes, right? You've got a huge portfolio. You're probably going to a CPA, similarly to what I was talking about, that $40 million revenue agency. They've got an existing service model, right?
Yeah.
But if you're, you know, just a W-2 and employee with, you know, a single tax return or, you know, kind of a smaller unit, then you use TurboTax. And what TurboTax has done is it's made that process very simple for Americans to file their taxes. Similarly, what Cake is doing is taking, you know, a model that works well in other industries. You got BizBuySell, you've got Acquire.com. This exists elsewhere, but it doesn't exist for independent agents for the uniqueness of their business. And so, just like you said, these folks are incredible at selling insurance. And so we want to speak to them about the metrics that matter in their book, help with the data ingestion from the AMS systems, et cetera, and really talk to them about insurance metrics within their insurance book of business or their insurance agency, help them value that, help them find ways to grow that, or help them monetize that at the end of their career.
And so you'll help them value it. So somebody doesn't have to come to you knowing what their book is worth. You help them know how much it's worth.
Yeah, yeah. So my co-founder, John Clemens, who couldn't be here today, he had a minor surgery, but he's recovering in the hospital.
Oh, good. Yeah,
he's all good, but shout out to John, you know, healthy recovery, but have gotten some good stuff from him, you know, knowing that he's doing well. So we worked together at a previous company, and there what he built, he was the head of machine learning and data. He built a system that could take in a CAD file from, you know, Department of Defense, NASA, SpaceX, you know, really anyone, right? BMW, and give them an instant price quote on being able to do a production run on. And so it was really complicated parts, really, really strong technology. And that company ultimately IPO'd, and that's what, you know, kind of instigated our leap into insurance. And we can talk about that story in a second. But what he's built here is he's taken, you know, a similar model and said, hey, based on your book's metrics, right, the metrics that matter within your book of business, but also the market. So insurance carrier by line of business, by state's performance over time. You know, the market that's on our platform. So the buyers that, you know, we know are after within a different region. So those kind of market signals and appetite signals. And then the transaction multiples that have happened over the last 12 years, we can give you a low, a median, and a high range of that multiple on your book, right? So with very little data other than your book of business, we can give you, you know, kind of that Zestimate experience that you get with your house on Zillow. And what we think this does is it gives agents a really clear and confident understanding of the value of their biggest asset, which is, you know, largely their book of business or their agency. You know, most small business owners, when they go to retire, that is the retirement fund, is cashing out
right
on what they built. So to plan that adequately, regardless of what kind of stage you are in your life cycle, to understand the value of that book of business, that can help you retire really smartly, but that can also help you with your strategic growth goals. You can see the pieces of your book that are driving that value, and then strategically invest in growing those either through acquisition with Cake, or, you know, through, you know, kind of targeted marketing or, you know, focusing on a niche, or specific carrier, et cetera.
So even if you're not looking to sell, you could use the value tool to see what it's worth and then to kind of plan out growing it for a later sell date?
Yeah. So the way Cake works is that everybody comes in kind of the same, right?
Okay.
Like you build your profile and you tell us what you want to do. Either, you know, you're looking to monetize either fractional pieces of your book or the full book, or you're looking to grow. But everyone kind of starts off the same up till valuation, right? And so everyone has access to that tool. That's actually a free tool on our platform. And then when you upload your book of business, that's when you get access to the book valuation. So we can't value what we can't see, right?
Right.
But if you upload your book of business, then that's when you get that Zestimate experience and those insights and kind of access to the metrics that are really driving the valuation of your book. And then from there, that's where it diverges. So buyers are able to turn on what's called their buyer profile. So they go into like our buyer discovery side of our marketplace, where they're actually able to market themselves to sellers, talk about the lines of businesses, the carriers, the types of transactions that they're interested in. And sellers can actually engage with them on via our private messaging app on our application directly. So if a seller really wants to work with a specific buyer, we're not looking to replace kind of the emotional or the relationship aspect of this,
yeah,
this transaction. So if you want to work with a specific buyer, you can work directly with them. So buyers get access to kind of, you know, marketing or showcasing their agency and their growth goals via the buyer profile, but they also get access to that book valuation tool. Sellers, if they upload their book of business, are then able to create what we call slices. So that's fractional pieces of your book. So by carrier, by line, by state, you can kind of slice and dice that. And then combine slices or list a single slice in anonymous listings. So all the listings are anonymous. The seller's identity is protected in kind of this early discovery stage. That's where buyers are able to engage with the listing, ask for more details, start that early due diligence. And then if it gets serious, they get to move into our virtual private data room, which is a secure data room environment for the exchange of data and contracts. And then they go through our escrow product to check out based on the deal terms that the buyer and the seller agree to. So
wow.
Buyers and sellers, they start from that same spot of valuation because we think it's so key for agents to get that understanding of their biggest asset. And like I said, we give that away for free. You know, it's a little selfish because I want,
yeah,
you know, agents to come on the platform. It's definitely an acquisition hook. But at the same time, you know, for me, I think it's just a really powerful piece of information that agents should have.
Yeah, I think it's great. I had written down what comes first, the buyer or the seller? Like, who are you marketing to,
yeah,
the most? Are you trying to get more seller? Like, I assume it's at the same time both, but
yeah,
like, where's your marketing play there?
You're hitting on the chicken or the egg problem, is,
yeah,
what we call it in a marketplace, right? So,
yeah.
But yeah, so everybody wants to buy. There's lots of buyers out there. Buyers, we've got a ton of them on the platform.
Oh, okay.
And are you know, ready to market listings to sellers. I'd say sellers is definitely a little bit more of the heavy lift in this like early stage of the company. Although we have found pretty good acquisition channels and are you know, having success bringing sellers onto the platform. I think rightfully so. We're new to the industry. We're a new product. There's a little bit of, selling ourselves or proving to the sellers that we're the right place for them to trust, kind of the biggest transaction of their life. And
yeah,
so far, the folks that we've worked with, I think would give us the thumbs up and would say that's a good thing. But that's definitely where we're focused is, folks that are looking to sell, finding ways to get in front of them and tell them what we can do.
Okay. And so Cake is a fairly new company, right? Have there been any transactions? Has anybody bought or sold on the platform?
Yeah. Yeah. So I call this a champagne problem, which it's a good thing that happens that causes, potentially some problems internally. So we launched in September, and when I was, out kind of raising money and talking about Cake and, really working on this, we said, look, it's going to take us a while to get the amount of sellers that we needed on the platform to facilitate these transactions. There's likely going to be some discovery, piece here. So we probably until June. So we launched in September. I said, give me until June, and then there will be like a really good clip. Well, we actually had three in 2023. So Q4 after launching in September, we had three go through. And so far, we've had six transactions on the platform.
Wonderful.
Yeah. So it was a little bit of like a, like I said, champagne problem of folks found us early, right? Like a really good kind of early traction on the acquisition. And then we were able to match those folks really, really quickly. And I think the stars aligned where they weren't complicated transactions. Both buyer and seller had a lot of synergies in between them. And we got to learn a lot, through those folks that kind of trusted us to beta test those transactions. But we're excited about the early traction. And like I said, right now, what we're really excited about is that we're starting to see a lot of sellers come on. And for me, that's just like personally heartwarming because, like I said, this is their biggest transaction. The fact that they trust this company that we built to help facilitate that is really powerful.
I think it's so. I mean, these people have worked their lives a lot of times. Their lives on it and built the relationships. And I kind of wonder a little bit. What another thing I don't know, whenever you're selling a company, an insurance agency, for example, you sell a house, you sell the home, you get the title, you're done. I would assume in an insurance agency sell, it's a little more complicated, right? You're selling policies through insurance companies, there's licensing. What is there more to it than just acquiring a book?
Yeah, absolutely. And these deals can be structured in a couple different ways, right? And I do think that's an important piece of the platform that I don't want to gloss over. And really something that we've intentionally done is the types of buyers that are on our platform span from, a two-man shop that's looking to grow that, has been really focused on a specific niche and is looking to grow that.
Yeah,
all the way to the enterprise level players, right? So like the biggest folks on there. And so what you're talking about plays into the type of buyers and what they're interested in, right? Is the producer going to come with the book, right?
Right.
Sometimes there's a period of time. This can either be an earnout period where there's like kind of retention bonuses built into that based on you working it still, or just by you kind of sending out emails and saying, hey, I really trust Lee. This is a good move. Stick with Lee. Like you get the stamp of approval, right? So there's obviously engagement with the book of business and the actual insured folks, or there should and can be, right?
Yeah.
But that's negotiated by the buyer and the seller on what's happening afterwards. Is this an all cash transaction and walk away, right? Those exist and those happen. You're likely going to get a lower multiple on that because the buyer's taking on a little bit more risk. And there isn't that retention kind of clauses in there.
Right.
Or is the producer going to come and be, or the owner going to come and be a producer in that new organization or in the larger organization? The other pieces that are important, I think, are, you know, early and frequent engagement with the carriers. You know, obviously making sure it's much easier if both buyer and seller have an appointment with that carrier, have market access within that state, within that line. But if not, it can still happen, but there needs to be engagement with that carrier and kind of communications going there. You know, obviously, if employees, right? So sometimes the owner is going to retire and walk away, but the employees or the CSRs or producers are going to come over.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, not piracy, not compete agreements, if they are coming over, if they're not, all of those things. So, well, you know, some of the stuff that we're talking about there, a lot of that's, it's the 80-20 rule, right?
Yeah.
Like it sounds like there's a ton of options, but really there's, you know, probably three different kind of main, transaction structures. And, what Cake's done, and, you know, it's early, so there's kind of future development here. But what we've done is built the templated documents that you need, both from a legal perspective, checklists, guides, how-tos for the kind of three major transaction types. And we allow sellers and buyers to have access to those in those secure data rooms. We still encourage, you know, if you want to bring or have your lawyer kind of view those, but these are built for the insurance agency, built for kind of the typical transactions. Like I said, 80% of transactions kind of fall in these like three major buckets. And then sometimes you get some, you know, unique, funky ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, I go back to the TurboTax analogy. You know, Cake at this point is built for those kind of standard transactions, right? If it starts getting too funky, you know, really a regional broker that is leading it, like a legacy advisors are fantastic at what they do, likely going to be a better option for that agent.
Okay.
In that transaction.
And so your target buyer is probably somebody who's already in the space, maybe already own an agency looking to expand. It's probably not somebody who's looking to get brand new into this thing.
Oh yeah. I thought you were saying like already have bought agencies. No. Yeah. So, I mean, this is built for independent agents.
Okay.
On both sides, right? We want,
right.
I'm not looking to feed the PE market, you know, like, again, those are kind of like existing channels. Those mm-hmm. players can come in, you know, we've got, you know, some of the bigger top 10 brokerages that have been active in the M&A space, you know, on the platform. But, you know, really what I'm trying to do is keep independent agencies and keep their books within the independent agent market. And so I think you can do that in two ways. You, like I said, working with those kind of enterprise players, but also giving access to acquisition opportunities to those middle market agencies. So the ones that are,
okay,
you know, $5 to $15 million in revenue, those folks, that's a really powerful moment for the smaller agencies that are looking to transact, because they're actually able to sell to somebody that looks like them, talks like them, walks like them. Their agency's maybe a little bigger, but they know that the service that, you know, their clients have gotten used to from them throughout their career is likely going to continue. And that is really important to a lot of folks that are selling, almost just as important as getting maximum value for this asset they built.
That is so neat. I think it's such a neat thing. I want to talk a little bit about value. I would assume that is where some of your secret sauce is, right? You're using your secret sauce to come in and value. Two questions. One, what is your sweet spot? What is the size of a company that you would want to see? I know it's a smaller, I mean, is it a million, 2 million? And then what are some attributes of an agency that determine the value of the agency?
Yeah. So sweet spot, it's I think who we're most interested in working with, I think, is agencies that are kind of $2 to $2.5 million in revenue and under. And the reason we're most interested in working with them is that, you know, largely they don't have a ton of other options. Some of those regional brokerages that I was talking about that will broker a deal. It's always tough saying brokerages when you're talking insurance, because there's insurance brokerages and then there's business brokers.
Right.
But some of those business brokers, the regional ones, they've got a floor on like the revenue size that they're willing to work with and that it makes sense to work with given their fee. And, you know, $2 million, $2.5 million, flirting with that line. But underneath that, it can be really hard to find a broker that's you know, kind of a people-powered broker that's willing to drive that deal. So that's our sweet spot, because, you know, they don't have a lot of other options. And there's a lot of agents that are heading into that retirement. So we want to be there with them to help them facilitate that deal. Now, from a valuation perspective, kind of what's driving value?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're looking at, there's a lot of edge cases, right, on another man's trash is another man's treasure. And so, you know, don't take this as just gospel. But I think, you know, a good mix of national and regional carriers, right, that are reputable. You're looking at loss ratios within the book. You're looking at growth percentages. And loss ratios is kind of losses within relative to their region, right? So
okay.
Are you much higher or much lower given that carrier, that line in that region? You're looking at retention of their book, growth over time. And then, you know, I think folks are going to be really, really excited about small to middle market commercial. That's always going to get the buy side really intrigued. And then if you're on the you know, personal line side, obviously like umbrella policies. So, the number of policies per customer, that's likely going to drive retention over time. If you stacked on, you know, home, auto, and a commercial account with a customer, that's going to drive up your value and because it's going to steer towards retention being really strong. But then I also, you know, some of the stuff that gets interesting is niches are really valuable, because we've got buyers that are really focused on a specific niche. So for example, I talk about fractional pieces of your business. We call them slices, because you can have your cake and eat it too. You
okay.
Kind of slice
like
of
that.
Cake. Let's say I've got a small book of commercial trucking, but it's not something I focus on, right? Well, there are a ton of folks that almost exclusively focus on commercial trucking and are really looking to grow that, right? So that little piece of your book can have a ton of value in the market, because you've got folks that are really driving to grow that niche business. And instead of having to spend marketing dollars, I can go out and buy, you know, a really, really firm piece of revenue that I can throw onto my top line. Those pieces come into play depending on where you are, what the market is there. But the main pieces are kind of the standard one, right? What's your mix of personal and commercial? Is it strong? You know, are you too heavily weighted in one side? How many accounts are you stocking on each customer? How well are you keeping the customers over time? Are you able to grow in that market? So your growth percentage, and is it really risky, you know, types of policies? So is the loss ratio just really outsized for that market, or is it, you know, much better, or, you know, kind of within line of average for those folks?
That so it seems like a lot of information can lead to the value. So how do you get your hands on this information, right? Do they just tell you? I mean, what does that look like?
Yeah, so that's kind of the magic of machine learning, right? And what's hard about this is you got to have the folks that are really talented at this. And luckily, I was able to work with one and bring them on. So it's, you know, it's not a dime a dozen, because it can be really difficult to build it. But what you're able to do once you've built it is not ask for every data point.
Okay.
From those folks, right? And so, for example, I was talking about, we get the book of business from the AMS system. And, you know, depending on how clean that data is, can have an impact. But generally speaking, we just need the policy level information, but we take out customer information. So your customer's name, address, et cetera, is nowhere on our site. We're really protective of that kind of PII information of your book. But what we do want is, you know, we want like zip code and geolocation so we can kind of figure out where they are within that state, within that region. We want the type of policy. We want the coverages, carrier, premium, all that stuff at kind of the policy level. And through getting that full book, what we're able to do is start to say, okay, how many policies do we have per customer, right?
Okay.
And how much are we stacking there? What's the mix of the commercial and the personal lines? We're also able to start to quantify and build a little bit of a look at the region that you're in. So we've got like a ton of data sets around demographics, population. We've got Zillow home prices over time.
Oh,
so we're able
nice.
To say like, hey, okay, within this county, within this, you know, school zone, that they've got a lot of policies in, this home value and the amount of cars per house, right, is much higher than the surrounding area. So this is like one of the really valuable counties or zip codes within this area. That plays into the population that you're selling to, right? So it starts to paint that picture a little bit. But then I was also talking about, we take in carrier performance, line of business, loss mm-hmm. ratios, et cetera, over time. So some folks are able to give us carrier reports, and that helps dial their number in on their book. But if you're not able to give us carrier reports, or if you don't want to, the machine learning model models out the expected overtime and the averages, but also the averages based on the types of books that it's seen previously, right? So,
it learns upon itself.
Yeah, so it's like the books that have those types of policies in those locations with that line of business. And so, you know, I'm giving the layman's definition, but what we're able to do is provide a really, really robust valuation and a precise valuation without a ton of data from the agent themselves outside of their book of business, due to the amount of information that we built that kind of contextualizes that book.
So you're not doing revenue times X equals sell price.
So you're
giving huge value, especially to the buyers, that you have done a deep dive with machine learning to tear apart the book to give a true picture. That's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. So the top line revenue multiples and things like that are still in there, but we're not just doing a simple calculator of like, oh, if you're in this revenue bracket, it's this, you know, it's
automatically
reverts to 1.8x or 2x or 3x, right, whatever. It's very dynamic. And then, like I said, we can also help by saying the buyer profiles that have said the types of business, the types of carriers, the types of state that they're interested in on our platform, that helps to influence the types of like market appetite that we can model out, because the factors that impact your valuation are not just within your book, but it's also, if you've only got one buyer that's interested, right, you're not in an incredibly strong negotiation place. But if you've got five folks that really want that, or 10 folks that really want that, that's likely going to drive the value up, because there's market value, and then there's just the valuation of that book, right? But like what someone is willing to pay for it within the market can have there can be a delta between those two, similar to the housing market, right? If you get into a bidding war and you get multiple offers, it might go over asking price. Same motions here.
And so I have this person I know who is buying a insurance company, you know, now they're buying a small insurance company. They already own one. They're buying one. And I don't know that. I've never asked this person, but I always assume they're thinking, well, am I overbuying or am I underbuying? Am I overpaying? Am I underpaying?
Yeah.
And so you could even come, if a deal is being done outside, they could come to Cake and say, hey, we agree that we want a third party to value this. And that's a service that you could offer to value that.
frankly, they wouldn't even have to tell me that they're doing that. They could just create their account.
They could just do it.
Upload their book and they get access to the book valuation tool. Now, I'd love to talk to that friend.
Right.
That's, you know, buying that book because, you know, I think our virtual data room, our escrow product, all the things that you're going to get, you know, from someone's going to have to facilitate this deal.
Right.
So even if you come with a seller already, you know, kind of like you've already got that relationship.
Yeah.
Something we can facilitate. Now, there's, I'd say the tools we talked kind of before the show started about like product roadmap. I think that's within the roadmap of turning the buyer profile instead of just having it where a seller can find the profile on the platform and directly, you know, communicate with that buyer. We are looking at ways to make that a little bit more active, I'd say. So,
okay. Like,
for example, a buyer could send that to the seller that they find off platform and say, hey, here's the operating system that we're going to facilitate this deal on.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's where it's at.
They get access to the virtual data room. They get access to the escrow product. They get access to the valuation tool. Lots of stuff we,
how exciting,
you know, can grow into. I think that's probably 6 months, you know, 8 months away before that hits the top of the roadmap, because there's a lot of fun stuff that we want to do, a little bit more close to the traditional transaction that we are facilitating. I'd love to talk to that guy.
Oh, I will. I'll be connected to you for sure.
Yeah. They wouldn't even have to tell me. They could just use the valuation tool and get access to that information today.
That's neat. One more thing I wanted to ask you, and then I want to ask you how in the world you got into this. I want to ask you about anonymous. You were talking about the beginning of the process that the seller is anonymous. I would assume, unlike a home, when you sell a home, you want everyone to know where the home is.
Yep.
How much the home is worth, right? All the attributes of a home. But when you're selling your company, you want to keep a little bit secret, right? You don't want somebody to say, oh, local insurance company in ABC, Texas is selling. I can go in and start an insurance company and take it over. So is that part of what you're doing with the anonymous part? You're trying to protect that seller up until they need to explain more?
Yeah. So, this gets into a little bit of like how we got into it. But there were, you know, we started in September, right? But I left my previous company after the IPO a year and a half, 2 years before that. And the only thing I was doing was product market research, right? So talking to folks that were doing this, because we worked with small manufacturers previously on a transactional marketplace. We understand we're really good at building these transactional marketplaces, especially within a niche or like a specific industry, right? Insurance, manufacturing, they have very specific stuff going on there. And so what we heard from a lot of sellers, right, is there's almost this like fear of getting the process started because everyone kind of knows everybody, right? And so with very little information, you know, you could figure out, oh, that's Johnny two counties over that's selling. Just based on kind of what I'm reading on the top line information. And that can be really, that's ripe for some kind of negative actors to play in there, because not only do folks know each other, but sometimes they know the top five accounts, top 10 accounts, right? There could be kind of negative sales against that. I'm not saying anybody would do that, but sellers were nervous about that. And so we wanted to protect that, right? And so just like you said, what we're hitting on with the listings at the early stage, kind of before the NDA is signed, is what's the top level information that a buyer needs to know whether this is something that they're interested in getting more information on and kind of moving on to the next step. So we had to balance kind of the protectiveness of the seller with the information that the buyer wanted to find out.
Yeah.
But we think we've struck that balance, right? So you're starting to show, how many carriers do you guys share, right? What's the concentration of a lot of business? What states and regions are they covering, right? How many customers? What's the premium size? That type of stuff to for the buyer to get an idea of how synergetic this is with either their book of business or their growth goals.
That's amazing. I think that's, I love all the thought you've put into it. Why insurance? You spent that time doing market research. Like, why insurance? Why did you end up there?
Yeah. You know, like I said, I've always worked in kind of, I say a legacy industry. I don't mean for that to sound insulting. It's a backbone industry,
yeah,
right? So
yeah,
manufacturing, banking, you know, insurance, those are like the core industries for America, for every small town, you know, it's just, and so there's all this like really hardworking folks there. And so that's always been interesting to me, bringing technology to those folks and mm-hmm. helping them, but in a way that's like kind of servant leadership, right? So like,
yeah,
I know the technology works, but I know that I can't just port this over here. There's intricacies within this industry that I need to learn, right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of learning going on in those 2 years. But what drew me here first was kind of the dynamics that I was talking about. You've got a huge market that's been growing and been really hot, you know, for the last 12 years. But when you dug into it, you know, really about 5 to 10% of the market had easy access to a transaction when they needed to, you know, based on the size of agency, kind of the buyers that were actively in the market and the channels that they had to market their book or facilitate those transactions. And then you look at the demographics of the folks working it, and you've got 17% of agents are 66 or older. You've
got
56 is the average age of the principal agency, and 66% of the book value within small to micro agencies, so $1.25 million or less in ARR, is owned by an older producer. So this is like the gray wave, the silver tsunami, whatever like fun name you want to ascribe to it, but a lot of people are about to retire, right? To me, the ability to honor what someone has built, the value that they built up, and to make that a celebration moment, you know, like I think that's another play on the word, have your cake and eat it too. Like, you get to like have your cake at the end of a lot of hard work by like, you know, monetizing that asset that you've built and not making that a scary or stressful moment. That really, there was a need that fit our skill set, and it was very easy to like emotionally kind of get involved and believe in solving the problem. One anecdote that I saw in a report that they asked agents when they were gonna either retire or sell their book, and 8% of agents that were asked answered at death, which was like both hilarious, like just the humor that a lot of agents have, I think. But it was also, to me, like a little, like nobody wants to work until they die, right? And so to me, it spoke to like a lack of options or lack of confident options. And so that's the problem that drew us here and made us want to solve it.
Well, I'm excited. I mean, you launched in September. You've had your first round raised. I mean, you're making waves. I'm excited to hear about the future. So maybe in a year or so, maybe you'll be able to come back on and give us an update. Think that'd be okay?
Man, I'd love to. Anytime you want to have me.
Man, well, Adam, we're here at our time. Thank you so much for being on. Can't wait to hear more, and good luck with everything.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank Adam so much for being on. That was a podcast that I was really looking forward to having. Whenever we got our list of from the Coverager newsletter, there was a list in there of some kind of up and coming companies, and that was one that my eye was drawn to because, like I said on the podcast, I've always been interested in the buying and selling of agencies, and that one did not disappoint. So big shout out to Adam, Bo for being on with Cake. Rob Beller, if you make it to the end of the episode, we missed you. I hope whatever you were doing was good, but we did miss you. To Al and Alicia, thank you as always. And to our listeners, we wouldn't be here without you. So thank you so much for listening and tuning in. And I guess that's it for today. Goodbye, everybody.